This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Cabo Jim Schaller.
Welcome, Good Neighbors, to episode number 80 of the Good Neighbor Podcast, Estero. Today we have Good Neighbor Keith Dobman from My Architectural Glass. Keith, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jim. This is really cool.
Yeah, no, pleasure to get to meet people in the community and learn a little bit more about their businesses. And you guys have been around the area for quite a long time, haven't you?
We just hit our 20-year anniversary last September, so it's been an amazing ride. And I like to say, down here in Southwest Florida, every day feels like Saturday. So the right? 20 years has gone by like that.
Now, where are you from originally now?
Originally from Western Massachusetts, the former Tom Brady country up in New England.
Right. You followed him down here, right? That's it.
He followed us because we were here 20 years ago.
There you go.
But you go. Actually, from a town called Agawam, and a little known fact, Agawam was the first ever five-digit zip code, 01001. So if you're ever on Wants to Be a Millionaire, you might want to remember that one.
Right. You're probably a little young, but I remember a show called Zoom back in the day, and I think they were out of Massachusetts, and they always said the zip code up there. And I always thought it was cool that it started with a zero.
Yeah. Well, now you know the first one.
There you go. I love that. So why don't we just jump right in, and why don't you share a little bit about what you guys do at My Architectural Glass?
Yeah, so My Architectural Glass was a product of our parent company, My Shower Door. And when My Shower Door, after the recession of 2008, decided to go vertical and invest in its own manufacturing facility, we ended up having a lot more options at our disposal. And not wanting to water down the brand of My Shower Door, because that's all it does, it specializes in shower enclosures. We also had a very extensive book of business of contractors that not only needed shower doors, but needed glass railings, all glass wine cellars, and these kind of like room dividers, office partitions, even in some commercial offices. And I started seeing more and more of this on the plans while bidding for shower enclosures. And I'm saying, geez, we have the factory. It's, you know, it's the same glass, you know, it's a different learning curve on the hardware, but it was in the same kind of bucket. So at that time we were wanting to really start getting into social media, and My Shower Door, the parent company, was very known for marketing and advertising. We're like, we put a lot of money into marketing, our TV, radio, newspaper, everything, but right. we were kind of late to the party on social. And I said, I want to try and build My Architectural Glass 100% on the back of social media. I have yet to this day, we're in our seventh year, I have yet to pay $1 for any advertising.
Wow.
And we've had a considerable amount of growth since its inception. But it really bred off of the base of customers that we had already had in the parent company. So, you know, a lot of times you hear people say there's businesses within the businesses. We were fortunate enough that the business grew to a point where we had a team in place, and us as owners could kind of stand back and work on the business instead of in the business. And that's when, you know, this opportunity really reared its head.
Yeah. And that's when growth usually happens, when you have that ability and that time to take that breath and step back and look and say, what can we do here? And, you know, it's, now looking back, it looks like a natural progression, because yeah, you've got the glass already, and there's so many applications that people are using it nowadays. And you know, and with just the openness of architecture nowadays, you know, people want the glass, people like the look. You've had a long journey here. Everybody's kind of endured maybe, I want to say, a hardship along the way, a challenge along the way. Is there something that's maybe you've gone through that's helped define you? You can look back now and say, you know what, I'm in a better place now because of it.
Yeah, I mean, my hair's standing up. So yes, but the actual real reason why this whole thing started, My Shower Door D3, My Architectural Glass, started in 1988. 87, 88 in Agawam, Massachusetts. My parents were both blue collar workers in Western Mass, you know, made enough money to keep a roof over, a typical American family, okay, in the rural areas of Western Mass. not a lot of wealth at all. And I was diagnosed at 12 with Hodgkin's non-lymphoma. And my parents didn't have insurance. They didn't have the money to get me the care I needed. And they were forced to start a business because they felt that that was the only way they could accumulate the funds needed to put me into a hospital to end up going into remission. And son of a bitch, they did it. They leveraged their house. They started a service business right after the recession in 1987 in the housing market. And it started to come back. And they were cold calling builders to do these like closet shelving, shower doors, bath hardware. And in a year's time, they were able to accumulate enough money to put me in the Boston Children's Hospital and end up going into remission. I'm now in my, it's like 34th year of remission. But I tell people, me getting cancer was the best thing that ever happened to my family because it forced them to make a decision and do something. And instead of just kind of poo-pooing and complaining, they leveraged their home. They started the business. And the blessing in disguise was my brother and I ended up growing up in an entrepreneurial family. And so if you kind of fast forward now, you know, it's kind of a funny story, but we ended up moving to Florida in 2003 after my mother broke her wrist, slipping on the black ice. And she told my father, "That's it. We're getting the hell out of here." And, you know, there's more to that, but we ended up moving down here and basically rebranding what my brother and I kind of grew up in our family business. And we kind of honed that in and that's where my shower door started. But now modern day, you know, here, the recession in 2008 was, if you were in business here in Southwest Florida prior to 2008, you could have been literally selling bags of dog crap and making $1 million a year. There was such an influx of people, property values were, everybody was making money. Not everybody was being conservative with their finances and they were over leveraging themselves. And when that market crashed, it was cataclysmic for a lot of people. I mean, across the country, but here in particular, that on the face scared the death out of us because we were about 5 years into our business. Things are going good. And then boom, this recession. And what ended up happening was it got rid of most of our competition and it dropped property values to the point where we were very conservative. We were actually, banks were still willing to lend to us in the middle of that recession because of, you know, our financial maturity, if you will. And we were able to buy a piece of property, pennies on the dollar on Alico Road, where is now the home to our manufacturing facility. So wow. When you say, is there something that came across that was bad for you? That recession was probably the best thing that ever happened to this business since we started. And then, you know, another one that I can't help talk about is the COVID. That uncertainty when that COVID started happening for everybody was wild. There's people that say the fear of the unknown is the most powerful stressor a human being can have. And when that COVID came, nobody knew what was going on. So families, you know, we got 192 employees. Are we going to have a job? We're shutting down. What, you know, my insurance, paycheck, you know, what's going to happen? Again, because we're very conservative financially, we keep a lot more cash on hand than we probably, most people would say we should. We were able to send everybody home for 35 days and nobody missed a beat. No pay was missed, no insurance, no benefits. We were willing to go almost down to nothing in lieu of keeping the culture at a very high premium. And luckily enough, after about 35 days, everybody came back. And the culture within the business, it was almost like everybody went to a master class on, you know, how to work together and how to get stuff done. And again, on the face, you're like, what's going to happen? All our money's going to be gone. We're going to lose our business. Nobody knows what the future is. And then, you know, the sun comes out and it's the best it's ever been. So, you know, these three examples I've given you have made me believe I don't look forward to problems, but I definitely don't cower to them because I know if I can just stay strong enough to get through it, on the other side is usually something better than anything I've ever seen before. And that I've had many examples of this. So they're, you know,
I love that. Yeah, I love that. And I commend you guys because there's a lot of businesses that they took back and they just thought about themselves. They didn't care about their employees. But, you know, you've built something special, and it shows through your employees and how they reacted when they came back. I love that. Are there any myths or maybe misconceptions around the industry that we could maybe clear up for our listeners?
Yes. And I'm sure I'll get a lot of heat for this one, but I go to a lot of functions. And one thing that I hear that's top of mind for everybody is employment, getting people, finding people, not enough people want to grow my business. But I hear a lot of either managers or high-level executives or even owners saying, you know, I can't find anybody that work like, you know, work like we did, and, you know, just get the job done and work. And I say to them, you know, are they making the same amount of pay as you? And they say, well, no, you know, they work for me. And I say, you know, that's really your problem. That's why you're not getting the people that you're looking for. You know, Jack Welch, or even today, the modern day Gary Vee, you know, that's somebody I look up to. Yep. They have this mentality that I work for you. And that's the only way that you could get the best and the most out of your employees, is to actually believe that they work for them. You know, to have, for an owner to say, I can't find anybody to work like me, is almost egregious to me, because they're not even going to benefit a tenth of what you would benefit from that hard work. So why would you expect somebody to put that much effort? Now, granted, there's people that take a lot of pride in their jobs. And, you know, this is more of a blanket statement, but it seems kind of out of line that somebody that gets to reap all the benefits would want someone that's going to get a fraction of that to work as hard as they do. And so I would say resetting expectations is probably something that everybody should, you know, reevaluate.
Yeah, and that's an important point you bring up too, because there's a lot of business owners out there too that expect people to be similar to them, to have the work ethic like them, but yet they really don't instill or teach that to their employees to help them become better employees as well too. They just, they're barking at them constantly, and you're not going to get the production or the motivation out of the employee by doing that. So
never
again. So let's take a step outside of work. I know you're a busy man, an entrepreneur, but what do you enjoy doing outside of work?
So I, you know, where I'm sitting here, I'm about a quarter of a mile from the Gulf of Mexico, which is absolutely breathtaking. Like to do boating. I enjoy playing golf, although I haven't been playing as much because this social media thing has really got its hooks in me. So outside of work, I consume an embarrassing amount of social media content, not only consume, but create, because of all the benefits that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years from it. And so I like to enjoy a lot of things. I go to a lot of functions. I'm really a people person. I thrive on, you know, spreading positive energy, meeting new people, rubbing elbows, kind of just enjoying the chase.
Right. I love that. And that's why we live down here. And it takes special people to become part of the community as well. Is there one thing that you wish our listeners knew about My Architectural Glass that maybe they don't know?
You know, the one thing that I would love all of our future opportunities to know is we're in this to make money. Obviously, we're a business for profit, but every single individual here cares to the point that when we're done doing a job, no matter what happens, whether there's a problem or it goes imperfect, every single customer leaves there feeling, I 1000% trust them and I would do business with them again. Because on the face, you know, a lot of times people compare against price, and, you know, with the internet, information is at our fingertips, but there's usually not a lot of context behind that. And I think one thing our entire team and staff is really good at, and we put a lot of time in practicing this because I think it's a perishable skill, is our soft skills, our ability to preserve a customer's autonomy while gaining their trust when going into their home and having the opportunity to do business with them is something that is a core value to us. We always want to leave our customers with a positive experience.
And again, you know, you guys are doing the right things, because there's not a lot of businesses out there today that are doing that or focus on that. It's a lost art, I want to say. You know, it's a thing of the past, but I'm glad that you guys are still practicing it and sharing it within the community. Any last word? Well, let me ask you, how would our listeners go about getting a hold of you?
Well, they can go to myarchitecturalglass.com. We have a bunch of gallery photos of jobs that we completed. Every photo that you see on there is a job that we completed. They're not inspirational or Google images. I would hope that they would want to enjoy some of our content. We post a lot of content. It's not for everybody. It's kind of more of, if I had to kind of summarize what you'll see on some of our platforms, like you remember the movie Airplane? A lot of play on words, a lot of humor. But we kind of, you know, we mix it in around education and what we do. So it's a real soft sell. But they can see us on Instagram under My Architectural Glass. We have a YouTube channel called Glass Guy, where we have a podcast and we bring on a lot of local business people, just like yourself.
And Shirley can't be serious, though.
Shirley. And don't call me Shirley. LinkedIn is Keith Dobman. LinkedIn, by the way, just a little footnote for anybody that's on social media, has a business looking to garner new opportunities. I have dedicated the last 7 years to LinkedIn and it has provided so much fruit. I can't even begin to tell you, not only from transactional sales, but just opened so many doors, speaking engagements, podcasting. I've got to meet so many unbelievable people that I think LinkedIn is still a massively underpriced kind of attention getter. Just a lot of people still think it's resumes and job postings, but they have a news feed. You know, I upload a lot of content from Instagram and YouTube and I bring it over to LinkedIn and it sticks out like a sore thumb. And it's really done well. So I highly encourage people to adapt to the LinkedIn if they have the chance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We will definitely hook up out there. But Keith, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. And I appreciate you being such a good neighbor. And we'll see you out in the community soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jim.
This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Jim Schaller.